meetings today, apparently. I'm going to have you go and... Okay, there's a lot of technology problems, a lot of things aren't working correctly. So, go to CIS software. Hopefully you logged in so that you have access to K-Building CIS. If you didn't, then you need to go back out and log in, because I don't think Visual Basic is available if you didn't make that choice right at the beginning. So right at the beginning, you had to choose something that said there were three choices you had to make.
Two. Student or key building.
Only two?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's not letting me log on. It says it needs to be repeated, I guess.
Yeah. That one did. That one said the same thing. This one said the same thing. It needs to contact the
That's what they're having problems all over the place.
Yeah.
With everybody, so apparently, I just went and talked to them, which is why I was late coming in. Apparently, they said it's random, quote unquote. So, if you change to another computer, it may be, but they're not sure if it's the computer or whether it's your login that's causing the problem.
This is number two.
Okay.
He's got one.
Try for number three. Are you in all right?
No, this is loading.
It's promising to load at least.
Yeah, it's connecting to the desktop. The agent supports the desktop. Tries to reboot and keep going and connecting to the desktop.
I didn't follow all that, but that's all right.
Keep rebooting. It's stuck in a loop.
Okay. If you were to get there, is anybody actually where they should be? Or am I the only one? You are too. Good. One vote. If you go into CIS software and then click on Visual Studio, you should be able to bring up Visual Studio. Okay, but you have to log in for the K-Building CIS. And you have to find a computer and you that are friendly. And if not, you just get to watch me today and then play with it at some other time.
Okay, looks like no resource.
It's in your end.
I wasn't, but it's just taking forever to...
Okay, so in other words, it's getting worse.
Yeah. These computers aren't fit to begin with, so.
Yeah, that's been a problem all along. Don't even bother with that.
Okay.
Person sitting there, last class, got it working, I believe. But then again, you got it working in the other class.
That would work in the other,
so if the randomness is true.
These three computers don't work at all.
I'm going to go and tell them that you're completely blind. My suggestion is, if you have a laptop from that one, bring it. Till they get the problem solved. Now, the only reason I'm working is I'm not on a virtual machine. And so since I'm not on a virtual machine, mine is working. Okay, so we're going to take a look at the course and then take a look at mine and at least do a little bit of it. Okay, so my homepage is www.pgrosser.net. Almost all of you have had me before, so most of you know that. I put notes up there, so you should occasionally check. The note that I put up this time is about the STEM Club and the Women in STEM is meeting this Wednesday for the first time. So if any of you are interested, please go, and we would love to get more computer students involved. It's a combination of engineering and computer students. And as I said, we'd like to get more computer students involved.
What is STEM Club? Like, I know it's a combination of computers and engineering, but what is that?
I don't know what they actually do. Rose is the advisor to it. It was one of our faculty people. I honestly don't know what they do. So go on the 24th and find out. Well, I talked to Rose. You can send her an email at rose.farrow@bristolcc.edu and ask her what they do. But if you're interested, then I would suggest going to B112 this coming Wednesday from 2 to 3. Okay? And I will periodically put notices up there that are for everybody. If the notice is relevant only to one class, I put it with the class. But if it's relevant to everybody, I will put it here. So you might go there and check periodically. Okay, so here is the class, CIS 156. Okay? I'm suggesting you use 2015, because that's what we have here. And so I would suggest downloading that one. 17 is out. I haven't played with it. If enough people start playing with it, I obviously will have to, but I haven't yet. Usually it doesn't make any difference in the intro class anyway, because the basics stay the same from one version to the next. So if you buy the book, it's 2015, but the more important thing is that's what we've got loaded here is 2015, so then you're compatible with the school. About the book, which reminds me, I think the book is very good, but I also think it's very expensive. So if you decide you don't need a book, that's fine with me. You could also look, because there are a bunch of Visual Basic introductory books that run more in the $40 range than the over $100 range. And if you just need a reference, you can pick one of those up. Yeah.
Would the book be good for, like, future reference?
I think it is. I think it's a good book, which is why I've stuck with that one. I think that they really explain things well. So
it's worth picking up if you're looking to do this for a living.
Right. Yeah. No, I think so. And the other thing is that Visual Basic Help leaves something to be desired. It actually used to be far more superior than it is now. But they've gotten too much. We want to tell you everything you could possibly want to know. Well, they're telling me a lot of stuff that I really don't want to know. I just want to know what this particular problem is, not the big global picture of it. So Visual Basic is one of those things that it's a little harder to find things on the web that explain things, which is why you might want to get a book. But as I said, if you want to buy a cheaper book and it goes over, and if you want to send me the title, I'll go look it up on Amazon and see what I can see about it. But the book itself, I think, is very good, but I think it's very expensive. And so, and I know a lot of students have gone through this course without feeling that they got their money's worth out of the book, that they didn't use it that much. Because if you stick with my examples and go through with those, you can pretty much figure everything out from that point of view. So, your choice on the book. Okay. I put out there the downloading is site to download. If you go there, you can download it. And I said you can download 2014, which matches, or 2017 if you want to try working with that. Or for that matter, you can download them both. But I would say that I would go with 2015. Okay. We are going to look at some of the examples under VB and some under VBNet, which was the previous version. And interestingly enough, VBNet, when you look at the indexes of popularity in languages, VBNet ranks above VB. So that basically means a lot of people have the attitude of if it's not broke, don't fix it. We're going to stick with VBNet for a while. So it actually ranks higher in the languages. VB makes it into the top 10. But I'm not sure whether it's VBNet or VB. Let's see. Over here on the side, we have examples under both VB and VBNet, and I will take you to them and we will look at them. And then I will put up the smart board and the audio as we go along. Okay, so if I am recording the smart board, I mean, I'm recording the audio, and I am taking pictures of the screens, and those show up on the smart board, and so you can go and look at the smart board and find anything you want. Okay? Now, the first thing I'm going to do is say that I want to download some of the examples. Okay? So when you go home, we're going to start looking at these examples up here at the top. And so you want to download those examples. Now, I told you what chapter they go in if you buy the book. Okay, those are examples from the different chapters. Obviously, if you don't buy the book or something, that's meaningless. But those are examples that go with different chapters in the book. So we're going to download these. These are zipped up, and you can send it to me in zipped up format, because what it does is it creates a folder, and the folder has the code in it. And so you want to zip up the folder and send it to me. Now we run into the next problem. If you zip up the folder and send it to me with something like Gmail, it is not going to go through, because Gmail objects to sending executables even in a zip. Okay? Now, sometimes you can get around, and some others do too. Sometimes you can get around that by lying and basically changing the zip when you send it to a JPEG, sending it to me and putting a note in the email that says change JPEG back to zip. And that will work. Okay? The school seems to allow you to send it, but if it's too big, it doesn't allow it to send. So sometimes the later ones that you write, or if you try to put all of them on one email, sometimes that's a problem. The solution that seems to be the cleanest solution is to upload them to CIS Web. And then if you upload the zipped file to CIS Web and send me the address, I can download the zip file and save it and unzip it. Okay? So if you send it to me, if you upload it in CIS Web, then you can send it to me. Okay? So that is also a way around it. And we'll play with this a little bit on Thursday, but I'd like you to be on the computer before we play with that. And nobody's going to get homework done before Thursday, so I think we can safely leave that and hope that things are fixed by Thursday. Okay, so syllabus, someplace in here. If I were a syllabus, where would I hide? Up near the top. Okay, the big thing here. Is the grades. And 80% of your grade is based on programs, codes, quizzes, homework. 10% is based on being a responsible student, and 10% is the final. Responsible student means that you pass things in on time, usually. And it also means that when you pass it in, it's well done. If you don't pass in something that works, I'm going to make comments, send it back to you, and you're going to have to resubmit it because we've got to get it working. A company doesn't say, oh, that's fine, it's almost worked, okay. Who cares that it doesn't work? You got to get it working. So I will send it back to you, and we'll keep going over it until it finally works. If you send in stuff that constantly needs to be refixed, that also hits that 10% there, okay? That doesn't hit it if we have to go over it a few times, but if it's everything you pass in doesn't work and we have to go over it, then you get hit in that 10%. This is a hybrid class. I'm teaching it more like student option. I will be here almost every day. There's a few days in either late March or April that I probably won't because I've got a better offer. But I will be here with grandchildren. And I'm sorry, they're cuter. So I will be probably out for a couple of days. But other than that, I'll be here almost all the time. And I will post it on my website if I'm not going to be here. And if I know like a week ahead of time, like with the grandchildren, I will post it a week ahead of time so you can make appropriate plans. Ooh, that would be exciting.
Yeah. Does this matter? Does this mean that it's turned on? Or?
I have no idea. It means that it's at least thinking about it. So the final and plenty code, any quizzes you get or anything, are open note, open book, and you do them at home. Okay, because this is a hybrid student option-y kind of class, the final and everything, it will be home. You can use any resource you want, because in fact that's what the computing field is all about, is being able to find resources and use them. But the one exception is you can't use another person. Okay, that's not an acceptable resource. But you can look stuff up and use as many resources as you want. Work that I assigned this week will be due next Thursday. So work is always due the Thursday after the week it's assigned. So any work this week is due next Thursday, and that goes on. Occasionally I may make an exception to that and say I want this by the next class because it's something we were working on in class and I want you to do something to it or whatever. So occasionally that may change, but most of the time you have a week to do it. I think that's it. Anybody got any questions?
I have a question, but I don't know if it pertains to this particular one. So my major is computer information. Right? So
yeah.
When I go to Dartmouth, does that mean I'm going to do computer information, or does it mean I'm going to do computer science?
Computer information. If you want computer science, you have to take computer science here.
No, I want information because
okay.
It's worth more in the field, actually. So I wasn't sure.
Okay. I would think that computer science is worth more, so
that's
you probably should
thought.
Check that out.
That's what I thought. But, computer from sources.
Okay.
Otherwise.
Yeah.
The email's for you, Omar.
P. Dot Grosser.
At RS.
At RCN. P. Dot Grosser at RCN.com. And the first few days, I check a lot of emails that people might have, but then I stop and I only check this one. I basically get too much junk on the Bristol, as I'm sure more than one of you have experienced.
I've blocked a lot of administrators on there because it is spamming.
Oh, she didn't say a word. I don't even bother to go that far. I have it all forwarded to a Yahoo account, and I just do a search for the person I want to hear about.
Sometimes I just get mad, Petty. I don't know why.
Okay, so We're going to start looking at an example. And the first example out there, if I go and look, is called PayCalc and then CIS Basic Project. So I'm going to go to PayCalc. Now, I already downloaded this. And then we will do a, I was going to do one, but that really involves you more. So that's why I'm going to go here and look. Okay, so when I go in to open it, I went to PayCalc, and this is the one that I click on that opens it, that has a little icon down below. And that is the thing that will load the project. So I said open project, and it will then open. And these are the four things I need. Although when I'm running something, toolbar, I frequently don't want open. I want toolbar open when I'm doing development, because that lets me drag things over. But I don't particularly want toolbar when I'm not. Okay, so I can take that little hat here, and if I turn it on the side, it will show up over here, and I can click on it if I want it. And that just gives me more space. Okay. So, the four things that I want, output I don't care about, so I'm going to click that off. Actually, let me take a picture of that and then click it off. So I want Solution Explorer, which has the name of this project, which is PayCalc, and has the name of the form. Okay, and that can be the form one if I'd left it alone, or I can change the name and put the name of the form there. I want to have properties. I want to have this blank space where the form can be opened. So there's the form. Okay, so there's my form, and it is sitting there, and I can then drag things over to my form to create it. But this one was already created. I'm going to expand this down a little bit and then show you how I can drag things over. Okay, so first of all, over here in the toolbar, I'm going to click on Common Controls, because those are the things that I'll use pretty much throughout most of this semester, are Common Controls. Okay, so I've got Common Controls opened. Now that gives me access to a load of things, but there's three things that I have over here. I have labels. So that's a label. I have text boxes and I have buttons. Okay? So, when I go to drag something over, I can drag over a label. So I just dragged one over. And it's now there as label one. I then go to the properties. And I like the properties, not the A to Z, but the categorized. So I use categorized. All right, I guess I want A to Z. Sorry, I was looking at A's and thinking the wrong thing. I was wrong. I don't want to categorize. I do want it A to Z. And here is where label one has a name. Okay? So I can change that. And the convention is that I call it LBL, and then I'm going to just call it whatever, because I'm not really doing anything with this label. So I change the name to LBL, whatever. Okay? And the convention is that if it's a label, you start it out with LBL. Okay. Now, I want something to appear in that text box, so I scroll down, and I want to move this thing out of the way. I scroll down until I find text, and I'm going to change that to say whatever. So I've now got the label saying whatever. Okay? So I've now changed the label and it says whatever. Okay? So then I can drag a text box over, and the text box is down here, and I can drag that over. And I don't want anything in that because I want the user to enter something. So I'm going to tell it text input or something like that. Yes.
What's a rich text box?
More having to do with images.
Oh, so it's more like a...
I think. I'd actually have to look. Or is it a different style of text? I will try to look that up.
I was just curious.
Yeah, no, there are approximately, you know, a couple of hundred things you can do. And I definitely do not know what all of them do. I know the ones that I need. Okay, so it's text input. And so I've now changed its name to text input. Okay? And if you click on this little down arrow, you can see all of the names of all of the fields that I created. And those are all part of this particular form. Okay, and they're all there. And then the other thing that I used on this form is a button. So I can drag a button over. And I can change its name and call it button whatever. And it is going to make a button. And I want to change the words button one on it. So I'm going to scroll down and pick up text and change it and call it whatever click or whatever. Okay? And that's a button to click. So I went down and I changed the name of this button to whatever. And so it shows. So I changed the name of the object, and then I changed the text that appears in the label or on the button, but I didn't do anything to the text box because that's for user entry. Okay? If I double click on the button, it creates, and this is where I'm going to click on the tab on the toolbox to make it go away so I have more room. It creates a private subroutine called button whatever, because that's the name I gave it, underscore click, meaning that if I click in this button, the code here will be executed. So this is called a click event. If I click on the button, this code will be executed. And the way I got here was I double-clicked on the button on the form, and it created this little place. So now in this place, I can say text input dot text equals, and I can actually put something in there if I want to. So I'm saying text input dot text equals hello. So I am saying I want to change the text property of this box and put hello in it. Okay. For both the label and the button, I changed the text property in the properties. Here, I'm changing the property by writing the code. So I'm saying change the text property if I come up here to start and click on start, it eventually runs. Patience is a virtue. Ah, come on. Technology is a wonderful thing when it occasionally works. Okay. So here is the form. And if I click on this button, it says hello in that text box, because that's what I told it to do. I told it to change the text property of this box and to put the word hello into that box. So text input dot text equals hello.
How do you get back to the lines of code you were at before? You double click the button?
I can just close this, and it comes back.
Okay.
Yeah, they throw in a lot of extra added attractions. Okay. So when I clicked on that button, when I did the click on the button, whatever, it took the word hello and made it the text property of that field. Okay? So this is an event. This is a property of the field. And I changed the text property so that it now has the word hello as the text property. Now I could have given it a text property right in the properties, but usually I actually want user input. And up in this one, you'll see that I'm using user input. Usually, I wouldn't just bother to say, set hello into that box. I'd go ahead and do it as a property. But usually, I don't want to do that. I want to take in user input and maybe also do a calculation and show the result of the calculation. And that's what I'm doing in the rest of this particular project. Okay, so this is a click event on this button, associated with this button, and when that happens, the text property of that box changes to hello. Questions that I can answer? I'll just leave that stuff there at the bottom and we'll look at the rest of the form. Okay. So I said on this form, put in a name, so Susan Ash, and put in the hours worked, which I'll say 40, and the pay per hour 50. And then I say calculate gross pay. So when I click on that, it comes back and tells me 2,000. Okay? So I've got gross pay, 2,000. I've got an alternate way of calculating this. Which is click on calculate. And notice this time it came out with the 2,000 written with a dollar sign and everything, and we'll talk about how that happened. I can clear the form by hitting the clear button, and I can close the form by hitting the close button. Okay? So those are all buttons that I set up, and when you click those buttons, magic happens. Okay, so the first button is button calc. And if I look at and go back to the form, okay, come on, there we go. If I go back to the form, then look at this button. And this button is called button calc. But if you look at the text, I said that the text that appeared on it should say calculate gross pay. And that's the text that appeared on it. So that button is called button calc. The button below it is called command. Oh, all right, interesting. Never noticed that before. That should have been called button calc more, because it was a button. However, I was into something else and wrote command there. Does that do any harm? No. I could have called it apples or oranges. It doesn't matter as long as I'm consistent with the name. Okay? So, in fact, command calc more is not what I wanted there. And I've never noticed that before. Clear is button clear. And close is button close. And if you look over here on the click events, there it is, command calc more. So I should change that to BTN there and change it to BTN on the form so that it makes sense. But it doesn't stop it from working. As I said, that's more of a convention to call buttons BTN. It's not a requirement. So I could have just written the word apples there. And that would be fine. You want to call that button apples? Fine, call that button apples. It will work just fine.
Or bananas.
Or bananas. But when I go and apply for a job, somebody's going to say, why did you call that apples? Okay, so it's good to stick with conventions. Okay, so the first one, button calc, I simply said, take the text that the user entered in text pay per hour, multiply it by the text they entered in text hours work, and assign the answer to text gross pay. Make it the answer that goes in the text gross pay text box. Okay, so I'm saying take those two and assign it. Remember the equal sign there is an assignment sign. So I'm saying multiply those two together and assign it as the text property of text gross pay. Okay, so if you want to talk technical, you're saying take the text property of the text pay per hour box, multiply it by the text property in the text hours work box, and store the answer as the text property in the text gross pay box. Questions? Okay. Now the next one is if you click on the close button. And if you click on the close button, it says me close. Me is the form. And I'm closing the form. So it says me close. And this close is a method, okay? It is something that Visual Basic understands, and it executes a series of commands that will make the close happen. So when you see something and with the parenthesis after it, okay, it is executing code that was made by Visual Basic to be executed when that close event or that close method happens. So when I do the click event there, the close method happens. And the same thing down here. Clear means something to Visual Basic. It has the code set aside to clear out a box. So if I say clear, do the clear method on text gross pay, it will empty the box. If I say do the clear method on text hour, it will clear that box. Actually, I could also assign something to it. I could say text gross pay dot text equals quote, quote, and then it would assign emptiness, because quote, quote means nothing. So then it would assign nothing to the box. So that's just an alternate way of doing it that you'll see me do periodically, because I basically, in my examples, use different techniques so that you'll see how they work. So that one will pop up. Okay, on the last button that was part of this originally, I have Command Calculate More. Okay, now on this one I made it a long thing because I wanted to show you how to do that. The first thing I did is I defined a variable, and dim defines a variable. Okay, if you know other languages like JavaScript, var defines a variable. But here, dim defines a variable. So I'm setting up a variable in memory, and it's called work paper hour, and it's double, which is allows for a big numeric result. It's a kind of numeric. Then I said comma. Also set up a work hours work. So I took and basically said WK, meaning this is a variable work area, and I gave it a name, and I said this too is a number. And then just to show you a second way of doing it, the third one that I wanted to set up a variable for, I did with another dim. Okay, so this basically set up three variables in memory, one of them called work pay per hour, one of them called work hours worked, and one of them called work gross pay. Okay, so it set up three empty areas in memory. These are memory variables. So then it said, okay, take in what was entered as text in the text hours work box and store it into this work area that I set up. And as you're doing it, make sure that you convert it to double. The problem here is that everything on the form is considered text. And I want this to be a number. So I am saying CDBL, which means convert it to double, which means convert it to a number. And it's another method. And the two parentheses tells you that it's a method. And then inside the parentheses, I put the field that I wanted to act on. So I'm saying convert that to a number. Now, can you get away with it without doing the convert? Yeah, probably. But it's just a good way of doing it. So then I converted, so let's see. When I did the entry, I had put in the work hours as 40 and the work paper hour as 50. Okay, so I've now got those in the memory variables. I went and I took what was in hours worked, converted it to a number, and put it in the work area. Took the paper hour, converted it to a number, put it in the work area. And then I did a multiplication. So I did the multiplication, and I got 2,000. Okay, so 2,000 is now in the work gross pay. Then I said, okay, I would like that to show up as a dollar sign, commas type thing. And so I'm going to take that work area and put a dot there, saying convert it to string and convert it to currency. As you're converting it to string, convert it to currency. Because dollar signs and commas are not numeric things. Decimal points are, but dollar signs and commas aren't. And so it's going to convert it to string, specifically currency kind of string. And that's how we got the dollar sign 2, comma, 000, because it converted it to currency. So I'm saying take the 2,000 that is in the gross pay, convert it to a currency string. And I write that by saying dot to string. So I do a method, again, this is a method that Visual Basic understands. Now there's a whole load of things that languages like Visual Basic say, okay, we're not going to make the programmer write the detailed code to do this. We'll just let them put in this to string C and we'll convert it for it. And we say thank you very much and we use it because it's a lot easier than doing it ourselves. Questions?
Is there like a conversion chart somewhere?
Oh, there's probably a list of them out there someplace of all the things you can do, yes. If you go and look up to string, yeah. I suspect that there's a whole bunch of them. I have nothing better to do. Let's try it. String function formatting explained at YouTube. Stack Overflow explaining it.
Yeah, you Stack Overflow more.
You can go through somewhere in there. There must be something that gives you a list. Okay, questions? Okay. I am reluctant to go too far until you can do it with me, because what I would do at this point is say, okay, now you write a program similar to what I just did, and I'm reluctant to go too far, so I think we will call it quits at this point. Hope they get things fixed by Thursday. If not, we'll have to stumble along.
The cable is the one that's not working. It logged in to VCC. Okay. It didn't log in for cable.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And, oh, that's good to know.
VCC didn't have Visual Studio.
That's right. So it's worthless.
Yeah.
But it lets you log in.
Yep.
That's worth telling them. I will go and tell them that.
So
if anybody has any questions, any issues, let me know.